Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 10:36 on your Friday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's time for our weekly Ideas Matter segment, which gives us an opportunity to learn about the activities of our regional humanities councils. This week, we're joined by representatives from the Vermont Humanities Council to discuss their fall conference, which is entitled A Fire Never Extinguished, How the Civil War Continues to Shape Civic and Cultural Life in America. We're joined by Peter Gilbert, Vermont Humanities Council Executive Director, and Dwight Pitcathley, who teaches history at New Mexico State University from 1995 till 2005. Dwight served as Chief Historian of the National Park Service. Peter and Dwight, thank you for being here this morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Thanks for having us.
You know, when I was a kid in grade school 40-plus years ago, the Civil War seemed to me at that time like ancient history. And yet as I grow older, the Civil War and the effects of the Civil War seem more vital and closer in time than they did then. How is it that a war fought 150 years ago still matters so much to so many today?
Well, I think there are a couple reasons. If I can jump in, Peter, two important ones. One is the sheer loss that occurred. 2% of the United States population, that is 2% of the 1860 population, died during the war, either from battlefield injuries or disease, and that is a huge number. In terms of thinking about it, we might think of the war for my generation, Vietnam, and if 2% of the 1960 population were killed, there would be 4 million names on the wall in Washington, D.C. So that's one way of thinking about it. The other is that while the war ultimately, not at the beginning, but ultimately became a war over slavery, with the South defending it and the North trying to abolish it, and indeed during the 13th, or with the 13th Amendment, slavery was abolished, the racism that underlain slavery was not abolished, and the long shadow of racism in this country spinning out of the Civil War haunts us yet, as scenes in Missouri attest.
Dwight Pitcathley's breakout session at this conference will be Interpreting Civil War National Parks for a Diverse America. The efforts of the National Park Service to interpret slavery as the primary cause of the Civil War clashes with the memory in the South of the war. I wonder if first Peter and then Dwight, you could tell us a little more about this conference.
Each year we have a conference about some broad humanities topic, and this year's conference comes as the 150th anniversary of the Civil War kind of approaches its close. The war was from April 1861 to April 65, and so next April will be the 150th anniversary of Appomattox and the end of the war. So this conference comes 5 months before the end of this important anniversary. So it affords us an opportunity to say, well, what difference does it make? How is it still alive in our culture and our history and our memory? What have we forgotten that's important? What lessons can we learn for our democracy, our culture today from that cataclysmic event? Probably the most traumatic, certainly the most traumatic event in our nation's history. That's what we're going to be looking at, the way it affects our politics, our demographics, our art, our literature, our sense of memory. Memory, of course, informs who we are, how we think about ourselves. It informs our the way we think about race. And what we forget, what we have forgotten is as important as what we remember or how we remember things. And so it's a real wonderful opportunity to think not just about the past, but about how the past continues to resonate and has a ripple effect that has made a dramatic impact over the last 150 years and continues to do so today.
This is a topic that has had countless historical books written and so much scholarship and research. And we, by the way, are talking to Peter Gilbert and Dwight Pitcathley, who are involved with a Humanities Council conference, a fall conference A Fire Never Extinguished, How the Civil War Continues to Shape Civic and Cultural Life in America. And this is put on by the Vermont Humanities Council. There have been so many books written and so much scholarship. In my family, one of my family members has a set of books that's been passed down for since just after the Civil War. It's called The War with the South. I think it's three volumes. And this book has tremendously detailed information, nuts and bolts about each battle, each troop movement. I'm sure you're familiar with that book. But there is so much that isn't there. So much of the societal information and collective memory. And it occurs to me that the collective memory as a society has changed so much. How much is we know more now, and how much is it revisionist history? Dwight, I'll let you take that.
Well, to quote a number of historians, all history is revisionist history at one point. After you get the first history down, all others change it in some way. I think we would appreciate the fact that we're still no longer using Parson Weems' History of Washington, which was published the year after his death in 1800. And it's got the cherry tree story and the silver dollar across the Potomac and all that sort of thing. So it's all revisionist, and that's good. Historians embraced revisionism because there's not one history, there's many histories, there's many ways of looking at history. In tracking the thought that you began with, early Civil War history was all about battles and troop movements and who was where at what time. And then slowly, pretty much beginning in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, 1960s and 70s, we started looking at society during the war, looking at women during the war, looking at children during the war, wedding more closely politics and history during the war. Jim McPherson's Battle Cry of Freedom won the Pulitzer Prize in 1988, I think, and did a marvelous job of wedding the political history and the military side, and then in the 80s and 90s we started looking at how is the war remembered, and those are all sort of add to our thinking about and clearly the way we remember or don't remember the war and its consequences.
So, what are some of the instances, Peter, where our collective memory doesn't exactly serve the accuracy of what really happened?
Well, I mean, one of the things, the reason that we see things differently today is that it's not just that we know more, which we do, as you suggested earlier, it's that we've changed. We are a different country. We are a different people. The face of America has changed dramatically since the centennial of the war, 1961, 1965. In that time, as in the previous century, race relations in America were largely perceived of, thought of, as a black-white issue. And, of course, that's not the case now. It's much more complex, much more multifaceted. So that causes us to think about it in a new way. We look at Lincoln in a different way now over time. The most recent the film a couple years ago reminded us that Lincoln was a human being. It reminded us that he was a politician who was acting in a political event. And so even though his death, remember he was shot on Good Friday, 1865, he became a saint. He became a secular saint, hero of most of our country, not all of it. So we look at the way we've looked at Lincoln, for example, and what the importance of him holding up our values as a nation has changed over time. The way we embrace him and turn to him for memory and inspiration has changed. Race is clearly something that continues to wrestle with, as Dwight mentioned earlier. You know, race has been called the American dilemma. Looking back at Brown versus the Board of Education, race has been called America's slavery is America's original sin. These are the things that the Civil War dealt with, and it's not surprising, therefore, that the echoes and the power of that important cataclysmic event resonates today.
You know, you mentioned early that we've changed in how we look at the Civil War and the events leading up to it and the events after it, and the way we have perceived it is different. Isn't there a danger as historians of to go into the physics realm, the possibility that the observer then affects the outcome of the experiment? In other words, how accurate can you be if our changing ideas as a society affect the view of history?
Well, and go ahead.
No, go ahead, Peter. You're on a roll.
Well, it is something that one has to be very careful of, and that's why historians have to be professionals. On the other hand, as we've already mentioned, it's unavoidable that what we write about is informed by who we are and where we are and when we live and the world around us. This is not necessarily a bad thing. It makes us more attuned, and we notice new things that we haven't noticed before. It's good that we now appreciate the role of women in the war. In the South in particular, new scholarship shows just how important the women, poor white women, writing their husbands who were Confederate soldiers and saying, we are starving here. I'm not starving. Your children are starving. Come back home quickly and help us. If you don't come quick, we're going to be dead. And so that very, to a large degree, underappreciated until more recently, encouraged desertions on the part of the Confederate soldiers, weakened Lee's army, and contributed to the decline of the Confederacy. That's really good understanding, a new understanding. So yes, we do have to be careful that we're just not writing with our hearts or our politics or anything else. This is the multiple points of view of the human of humans and through time is what makes us understand more deeply the complexity of history and the human condition. So anybody who'd like to come, I just want to encourage them. They can register. Go to fireneverextinguished.org. Or go to the Vermont Humanities Council website, which is vermonthumanities.org. Look at the full schedule. Ray, I think people will be excited to see who's coming, what the exciting topics are. It's a terrific lineup of a dozen speakers. Again, this is not a conference about the Civil War. It's about the effects of the Civil War and how they're still with us today.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with us. The Vermont Humanities Council's Fall Conference of Fire Never Extinguished, How the Civil War Continues to Shape Civic and Cultural Life in America, takes place November 14th and 15th at the Dudley Davis Center at the University of Vermont. And we've just given you the information. For more information, fireneverextinguished.org. Peter Gilbert and Dwight Caithley, thank you for being here. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.